Welcome to the Behind the Region podcast from the South Bend Regional Chamber. This week we visit with Eric Garten, the Robert and Peggy Weed Executive Director of the Wellfield Botanic Garden in Elkhart. Eric will take us on an audio tour of the garden, telling us all that it has to offer year-round. Eric will also tell us how the garden got started and about the major expansion currently underway. We will discuss quality of place, what brought Eric and his family to town, and why they chose to live here, even though he is originally from the West Coast. You're in for a real treat. Now here are your hosts, Chamber President and CEO, Jeff Ray, and Director of Member Relations, Mark McGill.
And welcome to the Behind the Region podcast. And Jeff Ray, really special guest today. And I'm really excited, brand new Chamber member, just excited to, I kind of know the story. And to have everybody else hear the story is exciting.
I think so. You know, our purpose in the podcast is really to help people hear those stories. If they haven't been someplace, to go someplace and let's feature them or to hear more of the entrepreneurial journey and such. So we've got one of those great spots. I got with us today Eric Garten. Eric is the Robert and Peggy Weed Executive Director at the Wellfield Botanical Gardens in Elkhart. And so if you haven't been, an amazing place in our community. Yeah. And so we thought today a great chance to bring some attention to it. So Eric, welcome. We're glad to have you here.
I'm really glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So a chance to introduce maybe somebody who's not familiar or to remind folks who haven't been there for a little bit about it. So start off by just giving us a high level. Tell us a little bit about just sort of what the Wellfield Botanical Gardens is if they haven't been there.
So Wellfield Botanic Gardens is a 36-acre property in Elkhart located just north of downtown. It was, in fact, inspired and founded by the Elkhart Rotary Club. So back in 2002, 2003, the Elkhart Rotary Club, as were all the Rotary Clubs around the world, including the one right here in South Bend, they were all charged with this task of coming up with something awesome for Rotary International's 100th anniversary centennial celebration. And the Elkhart Rotary Club, at the time, it was about over 150 guests. They were absolutely thinking big. And they had the chance to collaborate and work with the city on this place called the North Main Street Well Field. And the North Main Street Well Field has been the water supply for the city of Elkhart since the mid-1800s, and it still is today. So between 60 and 70% of the city of Elkhart's water comes from the footprint underneath Wellfield Botanic Gardens there on North Main Street. So the club raised about $250,000 among their members, not a penny for construction. Most of that was actually for a master plan. So they worked with a pretty well-known landscape architect named Dennis Bittner, who has since passed, but has done quite a few botanic gardens around the country and several highlighted here in the Midwest, with Wellfield being one of them. So over the years, our relationship with the city of Elkhart, we lease the land from the city. So the city still owns and operates the wells, and there are about 13 well heads that still provide most of that water for the city. We operate a private not-for-profit botanic garden on top of that and allow the city access. But what we were able to do through that partnership is actually take 36 acres of maintenance off of the city of Elkhart. So I, as an Elkhart resident, my family and I live there about 3 miles from the garden. My tax dollars do not go to support Wellfield Botanic Gardens. It is all 100% privately funded through sponsorships and memberships. We have an endowment with the Community Foundation, those sorts of ongoing things, a little bit of earned revenue through event rentals. And believe it or not, one of the misconceptions is that we make a lot of our money through admissions. It's really not the case. Mm-hmm. We make about 20% of our now about $1.3 million operating budget on memberships, and we make less than 10%. It's actually closer to 7 to 8% on admissions. So that's one of those things that, you know, people who come and, you know, they might be familiar with other parks or other, there are some free botanic gardens out there, and people ask, you know, why do we have to pay admission? And first thing we tell them is, keep in mind, this is privately supported. Your tax dollars do not support this. But to remind them that they're there because they're there to see some beautiful space. They have great amenities. It's a safe, wonderful place to walk around. And one of my favorite little reasons, and it is in the top 10 of, you know, why do you come to Wellfield versus, say, going to a city park, is they tell us, well, you have nice bathrooms. And you have nice bathrooms.
Really important.
And we have nice toilet paper. So it's little things, you know, little details make it important. So this garden was founded in 2005. And since that time, about $24 million in private funds have gone into what you see today. And that includes the fulfillment of about 90% of our master plan. We are currently under construction on the largest single capital project that we've ever embarked on, thanks to a wonderful philanthropist named Marley Ridson, who, in honor and memory of his wife Laura, made the inspiring gift that got others involved in this capital project to raise about $14 million for construction and another $3 million for endowment to help sustain our future. I couldn't be prouder. I've been at Wellfield now 9 years. Wellfield Botanic Gardens is the reason that my family and I moved from we were in the LA area in California. Prior to that, I was in Phoenix. I had worked at the Desert Botanical Garden. So this is now my 23rd year as a botanic garden professional, and I'm really proud to say that this Wellfield, pound for pound, it's one of the best botanic gardens around. We get compared a lot, and I love these comparisons when people tell us, you know, you're like a smaller Meyer Garden, or, you know, we've been a Chicago Botanic Garden, and we love it that you're accessible, and that's what makes Wellfield a special place. So we discovered a little bit of our data last year that we have about 2,000 member households, and we take zip code data for, you know, we're trying like other organizations to learn about our audience and our members in particular, but we discovered that about 20% of our members live in St. Joseph County. Mm-hmm. This made it a real easy thought for us to say, hey, we have not thought of being a member of the South Bend Regional Chamber, and now we are. That was a really easy decision based on that. And that's something that it makes sense for us. We didn't realize until we really looked at the numbers.
Yeah. And we appreciate, we're grateful for the membership, and we're grateful for the true regional destination that you are.
That's right.
As we think about quality of place and sort of the importance of having places like this, we're thrilled to learn more about the story in particular today. So, and especially impressed with the Rotary Club, having been through that time when they were imagining communities. My guess is they've far exceeded their expectations from that initial plan.
For sure. You know, the vision, and particularly the mission that they set forward, the mission of Wellfield is really four parts. It is about the importance of water to life on Earth. It is about inspiration and lifelong learning, fostering stewardship for our environment. And I think my favorite piece, and I would imagine that a lot of those folks in the Rotary Club back in the early 2000s of envisioning this, it was growing community. And that's literally the last phrase of our mission is and grow community. For me, being involved in Elkhart and the region is just a no-brainer. I love it as a personal passion because I believe in quality of place. That's what they were making. For us to be that regional destination, and it got me thinking, you know, my wife and son, we have a membership to the zoo, you know, the Pottawatomie Zoo, wonderful place. And when someone asks us, where is your zoo? You know, we live in Elkhart, but of course our zoo is the Pottawatomie Zoo. Mm-hmm. And I know there is a conservatory near the zoo, Pottawatomie Conservatories. It's smaller indoor space, really, really got some cool things in there. But when I ask people in South Bend or anywhere in St. Joseph County or even further away, when I ask them, where's your botanic garden? Mm-hmm. I want that to be Wellfield Botanic Garden. So we want to be a local treasure, but we want to serve a greater region. And I think that was one of our definitely one of our reasons for joining the South Bend Regional Chamber.
Great. So why we're here, as you've explained a little of the history, so help paint the picture for those who are listening.
Yeah.
Like, you know, give us a walk around the Botanic Garden and talk to us a little bit about sort of some of the things they will see and imagine while they're there.
Yeah, so one of our mantras is homegrown and world-class. And, you know, in Elkhart and in this region in general, you can make just about everything. And what the focus of our committees, and we have a very committed board and a building and grounds committee that has just set its sights very high. We believe in high quality construction. The art should be beautiful. The water features should be beautiful. You know, I didn't mention it, but of our 36 acres, half of that, literally 18 acres or more, are water. And so we're all about that connectivity to our water. And of course, that's important from the well field standpoint, but also from well field botanic gardens. We want to marry those. We want to marry those experiences. When you come in from the very beginning, and that's where our new 12,000 square foot visitor center and event space comes in, we've been operating out of a small manufactured home from the beginning. That's actually, the plan was to have it move, and it has now moved, and it will serve another purpose. But when they come in through this new visitor center, you know, you'll be greeted by staff and volunteers. There'll be a small gift shop, a little grab-and-go cafe, of course, event spaces, great restrooms. You know, one of those things we wanted to have, can only have more great restrooms. And then be welcomed into the garden for about, there's about a mile of trails all in all. So the main loop trail around the garden is about a half mile. And then each of the themed gardens, and there are about 20 different spaces, themed gardens, each one of them donated by a different donor or family who's come together to help fund this. And they each have a theme. For instance, the Water Celebration Garden. So that's one of the first things you'll run into. And that's where we talk about the importance of water to life. We have a volunteer garden. We couldn't do what we do without volunteers. Currently, we have about 20 staff, about 12 full-time equivalents. But we have hundreds of volunteers that just last year alone gave us over 6,500 hours of reported time. That's always important to say reported, because most volunteers aren't doing it to record their hours. When you consider that amount of time and the way that the state of Indiana and even nationally, the way they value volunteer hours, it's really tacking on an additional 20% to that original operating budget, which we couldn't do it without it. You know, from weeding out in the garden, simple things that are so important, all the way to, you know, special events, you know, hosting donors and hosting a big gala dinner that we have in the fall to help celebrate and thank our donors. Those are the types of things that we couldn't do it without volunteers. And when I consider that for every one of me standing there who's, you know, very fortunate to be paid for what I do and what I love to do, that there are six to seven more that are there because they want to be there out of the goodness of their hearts and the fact that they want to contribute to something bigger than themselves.
You know, I had the honor of touring the garden a couple of weeks ago. You were telling me about the one volunteer that just loves to weed. I mean, just comes in and just weeds all day, weeds all night,
absolutely.
Just loves to weed, right?
And in fact, Irene is her name. And Irene would never want this sort of recognition. But on a day like today, it happens to be 45 degrees and drizzling rain. I walked past Irene in the garden today. She had a hat pulled down over her ears and a jacket on, and she had her tools there, and that is exactly what she was doing. And it gives me no better pleasure than thanking, a true, sincere thank you to our volunteers. As I'm walking from the outside quickly to get inside so I can get out of the rain, there's Irene there. And that's the type of special commitment that our volunteers have made. And they all give in ways that are meaningful to them. You know, we talk about some people can't, you know, they don't like being on their knees or they can't bend over. We have things throughout. There's opportunities throughout the year. We had someone in our office this morning helping us with some filing and some arranging and doing that sort of thing. So there's something for everyone. When you get around the garden, you know, you'll see some of the highlights are our children's garden. It was a gift from the Rex and Alice A. Martin Foundation back in 2017, 2018. We tried to make something that was for children to investigate, and we don't like, we want nature to be the star. So we want kids to explore, and that exploration of the space. Of course, there's water in the space. Of course, there are trees and places they can go and sort of be secluded on their own. And there's places where the family can sit and, you know, read a book or just sit and enjoy nature by Christiana Creek. It's just one of those spaces that's really magical. And it really helps to reinforce that being an audience for all people. We really pride ourselves on being accessible with that very flat, that ADA accessible pathway all around. We have several really cool event spaces like the English Cottage Garden. We do a lot of weddings in there throughout the year. We have an annual garden that actually has displays that change throughout the year. So we actually currently have tulips planted in there that get planted by volunteers, of course, on our staff in the fall that then bloom in the spring. And then once those are done, they come out. All the bulbs get taken out. We actually donate them to people who want them, or we compost them too, because we'll do another display next fall. And in the summer, we do annuals. And so we theme that based on our overall garden theme, which this year is fresh perspectives. So 2024 is the year of fresh perspectives. And we thought that was appropriate given all of those who have given to our project and thinking about what can make a botanic garden great. And so this is our year of fresh perspectives. The Japanese garden is awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Japanese garden is definitely a highlight. It's kind of a crown jewel in the center of the space. Great 360 views. It's the highest point in the garden at 13 feet above the rest of the garden. So there's a 500 gallon a minute stream that's a mountain stream that flows off of boulders. But to think, you know, 20 years ago, there was literally none of that was there.
Right.
You know, everything has been reshaped and refined and made for aesthetics. The Japanese garden designer, his name is Sadafumi Uchiyama. Sada, he goes by Sada. He was a curator for the Portland Japanese Garden. And outside of Japan, one of the two most sought after Japanese garden designers at the time. And he has Midwest roots. His family immigrated here from Japan when he was a small boy. But that commitment to gardening and to Japanese gardens shows through. So here you have a amazing world-class Japanese inspired space in Elkhart, Indiana. Yeah. And a lot of people, there's a pretty good history of Japanese gardens around the Midwest, but right at Wellfield Botanic Gardens, you can come and see that, and you can learn about how and why things were done the way they are, and know that all of those boulders in the stream, when you hear the rushing water, just know that every one of those boulders was placed and directed with a crane by Sadafumi. Mm-hmm. And Sada would say which angle to place the rocks, and sometimes they need to be just an inch little bit further this way, and they're all stacked in there with gravity. It was amazing watching him work and to see the finished product and to not focus on how it was made, but just think, wow, this looks so natural. That's really the reward at the top of the Japanese garden.
Sure. We're talking to Eric Garten. He's the executive director at the Wellfield Botanic Garden in Elkhart. Eric, so we talk a little bit about kind of the daily experience. If I walked over there today, some of the things I could experience. But you've also gained a wonderful reputation for some great events throughout the year. Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about some of the highlights that people should put on their calendar to make sure they come see you.
For sure. So last year we had about 90,000 guests through Wellfield. A lot of them are remembers who were coming, but we get a lot of folks from around the region coming for things like our spring plant sale. So we have near the end of May is a plant sale, and we have a summer concert series as well. So we start mid-June on Thursday evenings and go all the way into August, usually 9 or 10 concerts. We bring in local or regional bands. It's just a great atmosphere. You know, when you're in the garden and a weekday evening like that, you can buy food from one of our caterers. There's a bar. So it's really the kind of make it what you want it to be evening. Some people sit right up front because they're fans of the music. Other people sit back and enjoy. You can bring your own chairs or use one of ours. You can go take a walk and stroll in the garden and hear the music from throughout the garden. Also in the fall, one of our newer events is called Garden of Villains. And we actually partner with the Hall of Heroes Museum in Elkhart, which is a really cool place. Yeah. Another really great one to go see. We actually work with Alan Stewart, and he's the director there, and his staff and a bunch of volunteers who come, and we have about 40 different cosplayers over the course of the weekend who are coming in dressed as all sorts of superheroes and villains. And of course, in October, the villains are what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And so Garden of Villains was created, was inspired by Alan and having our space. And so that's been an event where we have a couple thousand people through, and kids and big kids alike dress up for that and have a great time. Of course, our biggest event over the last 7 years has been our Winter Wonderland Holiday Lights. Holiday Lights started out with a modest beginning, about 200,000 lights, and now we're up to almost 1.5 million lights. Wow. And the focus of it is, it's really to enhance the beauty of the garden. And so when I look at trees in the wintertime, and you have a lot of trees without leaves, you see this shape and the way that the lights kind of play with it, you really start to appreciate, I think, even better the natural forms. It's really, really a cool experience. There's holiday music throughout the event. We also have some catering and, of course, a bar tent there. And maybe the coolest thing are the fire pits we have around, so families can come and warm their hands. Doesn't matter how hot or cold. It's just a nice, nice event, and it's become a real family tradition. I looked over one, a really important event called Taste of the Gardens. It's always the last Sunday in August, and that's an event where we have artists and music and, of course, food with Taste of the Garden. So we have restaurants from South Bend, Mishawaka, Elkhart, Napanee. They all come together and give small portion tastings. And so it's a really cool way to support both our local restaurants and caterers, but also a way to come experience Wellfield Botanic Gardens in the kind of the peak of our summer bloom.
Great. So quality of place is the hot topic. Yeah. Everybody's in this. We need to attract talent, and to attract talent, we need great places. Just speak to the important role you play in this quality of place discussion.
Yeah, well, I always kind of use myself as an example. The fact that my family and I came across the country to be a part of this, to help grow community as the mission of Wellfield States. But for us, being a place that you can buy a membership for, a family membership is $75. Mm-hmm. When you think about that being, it's like a Starbucks coffee a month. Mm-hmm. Right. And I love Starbucks, but if you're concerned with the cost, just lay off Starbucks once a month.
Yeah.
You got your family membership. So that allows you to come as a family. We also have grandparent that, it's kids or grandkids, to be able to come in and enjoy the garden throughout the year, whether it's spending 20 to 30 minutes or spending, half the day there, watching the water, listening to the sound of the wind through the trees, watching the fish jump on the ponds. That type of connection with nature is something that we all desperately need. And there are a lot of places out there you can get it, but Wellfield is one really concentrated dose of that all in one spot. So partnering also with a lot of not-for-profits is something that we really pride ourselves on. So every one of those events that I'd mentioned, we partner with local community partners who, for Holiday Lights, for instance, we actually have called the Giving Tree Project, where we have other not-for-profit organizations come in and decorate a tree. And then on their designated night, they help us with a few volunteers, but they also share in a part of the admissions that we get for that night. So as much as this is a fundraiser for Wellfield, it's also something highlighting the other good that those community partners do in our area and beyond. And, we all know not-for-profits that are near and dear to our heart. This is one of those opportunities for people to come and find their not-for-profit that they want to support and support Wellfield at the same time. So again, as a private not-for-profit, we absolutely couldn't do it without the support of the community and creating events and having spaces like this where we can help keep the lights on.
Eric, one thing we love when we're together is to just understand a little bit about the path and how people got to where they are today. And you mentioned you moved your family here. So talk to us. What did Eric want to do when he grew up? Did he think he'd be in Elkhart, Indiana?
I will tell you, when I grew up in Oregon. And my why, I've really brought this back to my why, is I grew up in a very rural area. I loved going out and being in nature. And I knew from as a kid, I wanted to be a biologist. That's what I knew. I wanted to be a wildlife biologist. I loved birds and animals and fish. For me, it was a no-brainer to go through high school, get into college, and go be a wildlife biologist. Well, I did that. And I went to school at the University of Idaho, met my wife in Eastern Washington, and soon after we actually moved to Arizona, where I became a technician, a wildlife technician with the U.S. Forest Service in this real rural area. And Arizona, believe it or not, has the most species of tree squirrels than any other state. No one would believe that.
Well,
right?
We knew that. I mean, you know. We're huge tree squirrel fans. Yeah.
So one of my jobs was looking for these endangered Mount Graham red squirrels up on the tippy top of this mountain, about 10,000 feet. You know, it doesn't even feel like Arizona when you're in places like that, from what a lot of people think. I was also out looking and identifying nesting sites for Mexican spotted owls. As much as I enjoyed running around the woods looking for squirrels and owls, it was a time where we found a northern goshawk that had fallen out of its nest. It was a little chick. And the process of getting that goshawk rehabilitated, working with a rehabilitator from Phoenix, and then bringing it back out and getting it placed back in the tree, it was when I was holding that goshawk and talking with some campers who had just come in. I mean, everyone loves animals, right? Especially baby animals. So when I was sharing information about that goshawk with those guests on our mountain, that's when I realized that as much as I loved running around the woods, I needed to be connecting people to the environment. And that's when I started with Botanic Gardens. And this is my third Botanic Garden. As I said, over about 23 years, this is why I love doing what I'm doing, connecting people with their environment, no matter what it is, getting them to ask the why questions, not just what is it. You know, everyone wants to know what that flower is. You know, it's okay, but you might forget what the flower is. That's all right. You can still ask, why does that flower have big petals? Or why does that plant have big leaves, small leaves, fuzzy leaves? Why does that plant grow really tall? Why does this one grow down by the ground? Those are the types of things that you can make observations about and start to understand your world better. And I think the more we understand our world, the more we'll take care of our own habitat and make sure that we keep it that way for the generations to come.
Great, Eric, as we get near the end here. So we'll give you the last chance to make the pitch to somebody who hasn't been there to, again, remind them why they need to come see you over at the Elkhart Botanic Garden.
If you are anywhere interested in wildlife, plants, all the flowers that are on those plants, the fish in the water, Wellfield has something for everyone. So whether you just want to come and sit on a bench and enjoy nature, or whether you want to take one of our yoga classes in the summer, or whether you want to come to a concert and listen to some great music, if you like food, taste of the gardens, if you like holiday traditions, coming to holiday lights, there's something for everyone throughout the year. And we always really need those volunteer opportunities too. So anytime anyone would like to come, check us out at wellfieldgardens.org. You can learn all about us. We are a year-round garden and very proud to be a part of the community and the region.
I think the word gem is used a lot, but as I was walking around a couple of weeks ago with my wife, Julie, I just thought, this is a gem. And like you just said, no matter what event you want to attend, it's not Christmas time until the McGills walk through the holiday lights. We go. We've been going for years and years and years.
That's awesome.
And it just gets bigger and better. But it really is just a gem that can no longer be a hidden gem. People need to know about it. That's right.
It can be a treasure, but it's a treasure that we want to share with others.
It's really amazing. Yeah. We're lucky to have you. We're honored to have you as a chamber member, and we look forward to a long partnership of working together.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. Thank you.
So Eric Garten, the Robert and Peggy Weed Executive Director at the Wellfield Botanic Gardens in Elkhart. Eric, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Behind the Region podcast from the South Bend Regional Chamber. For more information on the South Bend Regional Chamber or to become a chamber member, please visit our website at sbrchamber.com.